The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
A Fox News alert. President Trump is on his way back to Washington after an historic week in Asia, and the president ending his trip with the highly anticipated face-to-face meeting with Xi Jinping.
It was an outstanding group of decisions, I think, that was made. A lot of decisions were made, too. There wasn't too much left out there. And we've come to conclusion on many very important points.
Good to meet you. Great pleasure to see you again.
Good to see you again.
Me too.
And we're going to have a very successful meeting, I have no doubt. But he's a very tough negotiator. That's not good. We know each other well. I think we'll have a great understanding. We have a great relationship. We've always had a great relationship.
There were statements from the foreign ministry basically saying, well, it's just normal for large countries to have trade frictions. And that doesn't seem to be a sort of like there was agreement on almost everything, which is what President Trump said. You know, we just don't know. And we will only know with the passage of time.
Yeah, we don't know. And we're not sure what other issues came up. Did the president talk about the constant surveillance that China does on America? Did Jimmy Lai's name was he brought up? Was you know, any of the undermining that China has done to America come up? Where do you find agreement there? And we don't know because we haven't seen the write through of the meeting. But what would you like to see the U.S. do in terms of dealing with China in the future?
Well, I like to see a reciprocity. So, for instance, you know, President Trump gave them a concrete benefit yesterday. He reduced the overall tariff rate by 10 percentage points.
Right.
But we have not seen concrete Chinese actions apart from the purchase of the two cargoes of soybeans. So, you know, in the past, American presidents have given China benefits in exchange for vague promises of future action. And of course, the Chinese have not carried through. You know, with fentanyl, this is Xi Jinping. He promised to end the fentanyl trade to President Obama in 2016. Xi Jinping promised the same thing to President Trump in 2018. He promised the same thing to President Biden in 2023. And yet the fentanyl continues to flow. So, you know, reducing the rate by 10 percentage points because of progress on fentanyl, I think that that's a little premature.
It's never ending. It's, I mean, more and more talk about peace, about making deals, even with, you know, in this case, a communist state. I mean, look at how vicious the communist infiltration was here in the United States. And, you know, Jeroboam's administration, they saw it and they fought against it. And now you have, you know, this visit with Xi and the president talking about him as if he's one of his best friends, as if this is just a great nation, a good trade partner. There's a lot of similarities with the way that we have dealt with Hamas as well. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Lots and lots to get to. You can get to this show at the Rumble channel or at YouTube or at our website, thetrumpet.com. You can email us if you like, td@thetrumpet.com. So great friend, great leader, great negotiations. He's a tough negotiator. Quite a few concessions. I mean, lowering the tariff rate in exchange for what? You heard there in the cold open, a couple of cargo ships of soybeans. That's it. And then all these promises to previous administrations, yep, we'll cut the flow of fentanyl. We know how many Americans are dying because of it, and we really want to help you out. And it never happens. And so here we get another assurance. This is a communist country. And people are actually looking at this saying, I think the U.S. and China can just have a normal relationship. I think they can both love each other. As I say, look at what the communists did here at home. You had this story yesterday, Jack Smith. Just how many senators, of course, all Republicans, conservatives, just openly spying on. You heard there from Maria. I mean, this is what China does. They're constantly surveilling the United States. And then under the Dear Leader, here in the United States, when the Democrats had all that power, they're just constantly surveying the enemy, their political enemy, trying to put him in jail, trying to assassinate him. I mean, the forces for evil in this world. So much evidence, as I was saying to the students yesterday. Evidence all over the place that this is not God's world. It isn't. And, you know, I keep repeating this, but you keep going back to this article that my father wrote just a few years ago, April 2020, where he said, how insulted must God be when men trust somebody like the top terrorist in the Middle East rather than trusting him? Why not just stick to your guns? I mean, look at the abuse, the murder that China's guilty of. Here they're living under this authoritarian dictatorship, stealing all kinds of technology from the United States, surveilling America, and then sending in all these drugs that are killing Americans. And this is a great friend? That's kind of a shocking statement, don't you think? A great friend would do this? A lot of talk about peace, about deals. And then you scrutinize the actions, the activities, what they're doing, how they respond to a ceasefire agreement, what they actually do to keep their promises or not keep their promises. We'll see. Maybe there's going to be some short-term benefit. It's hard to say. But how can we fight, on the one hand, fight against this communist infiltration at home, and then looking at it abroad, it's no big deal, I guess. We're friends. We can make this work. We can compromise. Listen to this from Fox News yesterday, clip 6.
The president said that on a scale of 0 to 10, this meeting was a 12. He boarded Air Force One overnight for the long trip home from South Korea, telling reporters along the way that the meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping was a roaring success.
I thought it was an amazing meeting. He's a great leader, a leader of a very powerful, very strong country in China. We're in agreement on so many elements. I'll be going to China in April, and he'll be coming here sometime after that, whether it's at Florida, Palm Beach, or Washington, D.C.
Okay, the niceties aside, both sides really lowered the temperature, with China agreeing to buy U.S. soybeans and allow the export of rare earth elements. And while Trump said the thorny issue of Taiwan did not come up, the two sides did agree to work together on Ukraine, he said. Acknowledged that the U.S. and China don't always see eye to eye, but the U.S. did agree to lower some of the Trump administration's tariffs put in place to get China to stop selling chemicals used to make fentanyl.
So another assurance. And no discussion on Taiwan. That's interesting. Just give them what they want. Give them what, maybe there's some short-term gain, but really you look into the details of the deal and it just perpetuates the structural weaknesses that are there with America in trade, the economy, and so on. I mean, just going down the soybeans, they're not even good for you. They're unhealthy. They make you unhealthy. And that we've just got to get tons of that into China, evidently. And then they've got to get tons of fentanyl into America. And people suffer from bad health. Some are murdered. These are not partners. These are not peace partners. I mean, China, we've written so many articles at thetrumpet.com about the China threat. I mean, there's another danger in the heart of Europe, as we know, and that's what's going to trigger world war. But China's certainly going to be engaged in conflict during the prophesied Great Tribulation as well. So we scratch each other's backs, I suppose. China continues to process the rare earth minerals, and America desperately needs them. I mean, even that's a security threat for America to be so dependent on China, on Chinese goods. You think of all the bad points that will come from this, particularly when you get a little ways into it, and then we come to find out, well, yeah, just like in 2016, just like in 2019, 2023, the assurance to cut the fentanyl off turned out to be another lie. The New York Post says Trump announced, "We have a deal," shortly after meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping Thursday in their first face-to-face since he returned to the White House. What did he say about it in that clip? A roaring success. A roaring success. Just hours afterwards. On a scale of 0 to 10, with 10 being the best, I would say the meeting was a 12. It was just spectacular. It was off the charts. It was better than any other meeting in history. This is the kind of language that we're treated to. Even as we're starting resuming nuclear arms testing. Well, we got to do it because Russia's doing it. China's doing it. As I've noted on this program so many times, you'll notice that even in a long statement with all of these, you know, peace agreements, deals. Oh, yeah, we've also got the greatest and most powerful weapons in the world. And, you know, South Korea wants them. And we're going to sell them to South Korea and others. Isn't it great? We need to open our ears and listen to what we're saying. I mean, just looking at that, you know what's coming. Look at history. China's been on a decades-long mission to overtake the United States as the world's superpower. And you can be sure, every step along the way, they're going to be doing everything possible to undermine America's position, America's rank. A roaring success. It says here, Trump and Xi also agreed to a renewed crackdown on fentanyl exports. It's a renewed crackdown. Just like you heard in the cold open. Happened back in 2016. I mean, he rattled through all the dates even. 2018, President Biden in 2023, and the fentanyl continues to flow. That's the reality. Play this from the Treasury Secretary yesterday, and it's on Maria's show, clip 4.
Can you walk us through the most important elements of this agreement that President Trump said was very friendly between the United States and China?
Well, Maria, all the congratulations should go to President Trump. He has a fine relationship with President Xi. The mood in the room was one of great respect, but also between two men who knew each other quite well and knew what they were getting into.
Mm-hmm, the mood in the room. Just like when they gathered all the peacemakers together in Egypt, the mood in the room. Jared Kushner was just, he was blown away by the mood between Witkoff and the Hamas guy. Yeah, they both just saw each other as human beings. We're talking about the mood in the room. We're talking about dialogue. Here we are again. The dialogue was spectacular. It was a roaring success. And oh, by the way, all thanks goes to President Donald Trump. I mean, he is the negotiator in chief. He's the deal maker. He's the peacemaker. Well, what does your Bible say about when they talk nonstop about peace? It's just incessant. And as I say, it coincides with talk about weapons and war. And we do it all with a smile on our face. Play this one from, this is on the United States. I know we wrote about this in the morning brief, but how that we're going to test nuclear weapons yet again, because we've got to do it to just keep pace with Russia and China. And China. Clip one.
Separately, President Trump posting last night about nuclear weapons. He said that because of testing programs from other countries, namely China and Russia, the United States is going to begin testing our nuclear weapons on an equal basis starting immediately. President Trump didn't mention specific countries, but the announcement follows reports yesterday that Russia had successfully tested a nuclear-powered, nuclear-arms-capable Poseidon torpedo. The United States hasn't conducted a live nuclear weapons test since all the way back in 1992, when then-President George H.W. Bush imposed a unilateral testing moratorium.
That had to do with others. They seem to all be nuclear testing. We have more nuclear weapons than anybody. We don't do testing. You know, we've halted it years, many years ago. But with others doing testing, I think it's appropriate that we do also.
I think President Trump is once again reflecting sentiment that President Reagan had in the 1980s. They both regretted the necessity of nuclear weapons. They dreamed of a world in which we might not have nuclear weapons. But as long as adversaries like communist Russia back in the day and today Russia and communist China have nuclear weapons and they're rapidly expanding their arsenal and they're testing their weapons, the United States can't afford to unilaterally disarm, that we have to make sure that our nuclear arsenal is second to none, that it won't be overmatched by the combined forces of Russia and China, that our aging weapons are still usable, and that our new weapons are designed and made properly. So I agree with what President Trump has announced. It's only sensible that in a world when Russia and China are threatening the United States with a rapidly growing and novel nuclear arsenal, that we have to take steps to defend our way of life, because that's what our nuclear arsenal does. It truly defends our way of life.
That's from the same day as all the talk about this great relationship, best friends, a roaring success. And, oh, by the way, we're going to be testing nukes as well. Why? Well, because of our adversary, communist China. China. I mean, even President Trump, you go back to 2015 and 16 when he first came down the escalator, he spent a lot of his campaign exposing China. China was lining the pockets of the Biden family, paying them off, pay to play. The same spirit, the same mentality that you saw in the communists here in the United States. I mean, they've been exposed. The Democrat Party's been exposed. Their true colors are now showing. But look at what they did to people, to the opposition, to President Trump, to MAGA. Play this from Senator Ted Cruz. He was one of the ones that Jack Smith spied on. Ted Cruz, for what? Well, you don't need to know. Just use the weaponized agencies of the federal government. And yeah, peer into their cell phone or their computer. Go ahead and play the one from Cruz.
The judge didn't say I may destroy evidence. The judge signed an order that says the court finds reasonable grounds to believe that such disclosure will result in destruction of or tampering with evidence, intimidation of potential witnesses, and serious jeopardy to the investigation. And that is utterly without basis in fact. There was no evidence to support that. If the prosecutor made that representation, the prosecutor perjured himself.
Amen.
And I'd bet $20 this judge cranked out an order like that for every single senator down up here. We just happen to have mine, but it's boilerplate. If you're a Republican, you're on the enemy's list, I find that you will destroy evidence. And so we're going to let the executive surveil you without Congress ever knowing about it. I am right now calling on the House of Representatives to impeach Judge Boasberg. Judge Boasberg put his robe down, stood up and said, sign me up to be part of the partisan vendetta against 20% of the Republicans in the Senate. That is a dereliction of duty and a violation of the judicial oath. And I want to thank Chairman Grassley and Chairman Johnson for pursuing this tenaciously like a dog on a bone. We are going to get the answers of every person who signed off on this abuse of power. And mark my words, there will be accountability for these zealots who wanted to corrupt the Department of Justice and corrupt the judiciary in order to try to attack their enemies list.
Some strong words, but like usual, stopping short of the one behind it all, the dear leader, Barack Obama, Merrick Garland's DOJ, Jack Smith. I mean, he's singling out the judge there that signed off on it, Boasberg. They're all corrupt. They're all communist. And they were spying on at least, I mean, this is what we know of thus far, at least 20% of the Republican senators. I mean, just blanket coverage. I mean, this is something, I mean, the dear leader, this is what he does. He's like the Chinese communist state surveilling America. Why? Because they can, and nobody stops them. Nobody punishes them. Instead, we praise them. We try to compromise with them. We sit down with them. We talk to them. And even after they've been exposed, we still reach out. We still try to make friends with the enemies. What an insult this must be to God, as I keep reading. The New York Times, of course, it has it in for President Trump, so you'd expect the tone to be anti-Trump, but it says here, by flexing China's near monopoly on rare earths and its purchasing power over U.S. soybeans, Mr. Xi won key concessions from Washington, a reduction in tariffs, a suspension of port fees on Chinese ships, and the delay of U.S. export controls that would have barred more Chinese firms from accessing American technology. The agreement struck on Thursday could mean at least a temporary calm in the fractious U.S.-China relationship. Mr. Trump said the two leaders also discussed working together to end the war in Ukraine. I mean, it was just a roaring success. We're all testing nukes. That goes without saying. But, you know, we're gonna work to dial back Putin's aggressive attack on Ukraine. We're making progress. We've only got one more war to end. And then we have worldwide peace. This is what we've been told. It's a personalized style of diplomacy that plays well to both leaders' instincts, said this one commentator. It just works well. There's so much warmth. I mean, you walk into the room and you can just tell everyone's at ease because we're shaking hands. We're making deals. What was it that Herbert Armstrong said back in the 1940s at the establishment of the United Nations, and how America was just so naive and silly to think that Russia was its friend and ignoring what was actually going on behind the scenes, or in some cases, right out in the open. I mean, all this is happening, by the way, dealing with China, even as China's been cracking down on Christians in China. And they're doing the same thing in Sudan. Nobody seems to care about that one. From Tablet Magazine, it says, when police stormed homes across nine provinces on the night of October 9th, 2025, okay, you can do the math. That was like 2-3 weeks ago. Nine provinces. This is what communist China does. This is who they are. It was the beginning of what human rights observers are now calling the most sweeping, coordinated crackdown on Christianity since the Cultural Revolution of the 1960s. But don't worry. I mean, in the negotiating room, there's just a spirit of warmth. For 40 years, Since the end of Mao Zedong's bloody Cultural Revolution, China's unregistered Protestant and Catholic congregations have operated in a precarious gray zone, technically illegal, but often tolerated. That uneasy equilibrium shattered in October. That's this month. Freedom. Freedom of religion. It's shattered in communist China. The scale of the campaign is staggering. Zion Church was not a small underground fellowship. It was a sprawling network of more than 5,000 members across 40 cities and roughly 100 congregations, sustained by an online devotional program that attracted more than 10,000 daily participants before its digital presence was erased by authorities. They don't exactly like traditional Christianity. They like to blot it out. Says, during the Cultural Revolution, the party sought to eliminate all religious expression as superstition. But under Xi, the persecution has taken on a more sophisticated ideological character, what he calls the, well, I don't even know the word, I guess bringing religion together under his authoritarian leadership. He decides if it's true or if it's superstition. Churches are not merely destroyed, they are forced to submit, to rewrite scripture, to display portraits of Xi alongside crucifixes, to teach loyalty to the party before loyalty to Christ. That's who President Trump is dealing with. He's a good friend. It was a roaring success. It's a great relationship. I'm going to lower those tariffs. I'm going to make China happy. China's now a partner. Just like Qatar, just like Egypt and Hamas and Turkey. Don't forget Turkey. These are good business partners. This story from the AP, the one that no one even talks about. No human rights groups are concerned about it for the most part. The Western media, forget it. It's Sudan. And, you know, the persecution is aimed at Christians. And we don't care much about religion anyway, except when it comes to the Jews. Now, the Jews are dangerous. The Jews are liars. You cannot trust Bibi. You can trust Xi. You can trust Hamas. But you can't trust Bibi. You can't. Steve Bannon told me, you can't trust anything Bibi or his administration says. I think there's more evidence that this certainly is not God's world. As I said yesterday, no government of man is perfect. No one's batting 1,000, not in this world. But what must God think if you're reaching out to and negotiating and trying to make peace pacts with people who want to kill you, people who want to destroy your nation, people who are killing you with fentanyl and otherwise? Sudan's parliamentary forces killed hundreds of people at a hospital, including patients, after they seized the provincial capital of North Darfur over the weekend. So they just went into the hospital and slaughtered everybody. Did you hear about this? The 460 patients and their companions were reportedly killed Tuesday by fighters from the rapid support forces in the city of El Fasher. As part of the assault, RSF fighters also went from house to house beating and shooting at people, including women and children. 2 years of fighting for control of Sudan has killed over 40,000 people, a figure rights groups consider a significant undercount. I think we've heard there's only one war left on Earth. Just one more. Just take care of Ukraine and everything's solved. What about Sudan? Still waiting for Tucker and Steve Bannon to comment on this development. This is not God's world. I keep bringing this out to our students. There's nothing about it that God is in love with. And yet you read between the lines, when you hear what the ambassadors for peace say, yeah, he's just a human being. I mean, the mood was great. We really made a lot of progress. If you read between the lines of those kinds of statements, what they're also saying is that I love this world. I just love it. There's a few messy places, but like the dear leader used to say, it's a little messy here and there, but for the most part, we're living in a state of tranquility. Remember that? It's the old stand in front of the city going up in flames and say, I think it's actually pretty peaceful. I think it's working out fairly well for Minneapolis. No, actually, the city burned down. They burned the police precinct. They looted Target and Walmart. People really and truly are blind to just how evil this world is. Galatians 1 and verse 4 said it 2,000 years ago. That's God's assessment. The present evil world. Look at what the world did to Jesus Christ. Look at John 3 and verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's from Jesus Christ. That's true religion right there. A light came into this world, but men love darkness. They love this world. They love and even worship the God of this world. They don't know that they're deceived. Revelation 12 and verse 9. Look at how many people in the traditional Christian world around this time of year try to defend the indefensible in celebrating Halloween. Even as it just gets gorier and more, I mean, the spirit of murder is in the air, and we celebrate it? We have a holiday devoted to it? You go to some movie website and all the top available films are horror movies? We had a horror movie play out 2 years ago in southern Israel. And then what? Now we just laugh and joke about it? This is from a religious website. I won't even say who it is, the evangelical. Someone's asking about Halloween and having mixed feelings. And this is the answer from religion. People come to different conclusions about celebrating Halloween, particularly if they have young children or grandchildren to consider. For some people, this holiday is a time for dress-up and candy. It's an opportunity for fun. Others express concern for their children's safety or for the emphasis that is often made on violence or horror at this time of year. Those who are interested in the right or wrong of the celebration may look at the holiday's origin in the occult and believe it should not be celebrated at all. On the other hand, others recognize that Halloween, the eve of All Saints' Day, is also associated with Martin Luther and the Reformation. So some say it's demonic, and some say it's religious. And basically, the counsel from the church is just do what seems right in your own eyes. We encountered this kind of thinking. It's basically suggesting that you just worship your own opinion. You decide. We encountered this when the Laodicean rebellion was happening. They were making these changes in doctrine based on the Word of God. And then ministers would get up and say, you know what, we've changed. We've changed the teaching. But now don't be offended. If you don't want to go along, just keep believing what you believe. On the other hand, if you want to change and come along with the new teaching, you're free to do that as well. Does that sound like the religion of the Bible? This, as I was telling the students recently, I mean, this article or this answer at a church website, you get stronger positions on Halloween from the New York Times. Now, that's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Where is the courage to just speak the truth? If it's of the occult, then there's your answer. If it springs from the devil, there's your answer. What does God say to us throughout the Bible? He says, come out of Babylon so that you don't suffer from the plagues that are coming upon Babylon. Come out of this world and be separate, Paul said to the Corinthians. The Corinthians wanted to invite a lot of worldliness into the church. And Paul had to say no. In fact, in one case, he said, this guy that's involved in this incestuous relationship, get him out. We've got to maintain purity in the church. The whole world is deceived. Revelation 12 and verse 9. Here we've had this, those of us in God's church, we've had this invigorating, inspiring fall festival season with the Feast of Tabernacles and the Last Great Day. And then you return home and you see all of these ghoulish figures and all of these horror movies. The New York Times says, on a recent Sunday evening, Melanie Parker took her 2-year-old to the Ditmas Park section of Brooklyn to see a house in the area known for its elaborate Halloween displays. He loves classic Halloween imagery, pumpkins, witches, ghosts, spiders, and skeletons, said Parker, 38, a full-time caregiver who lives with her partner in Crown Heights. 2-year-old. Adorning the home, though, was a ton of blood, as well as dismembered bodies, like a child's head, she said. They were all moving and speaking and gesturing and making noises. The decorations were illuminated in a way that made many of the figures and wounds appear more lifelike. I mean, we have to make the death and the carnage more lifelike. Is this something that people should celebrate? Is this something that you should take your 2-year-old to go view? Since then, her son keeps talking about the guy who broke his head and the people who were hurt. Our kid was both riveted and disturbed. He can't get the images out of his little 2-year-old mind. Riveted and disturbed. And as the New York Times, as I say, even the New York Times is wondering, are we taking this a little too far? Have we gone a little bit over on the deep end with respect to the violence, the murder, the horror that we put on the big screen, that we cheer for, that we celebrate? I mean, it's right out of the end of Romans 1 as well. All the disgusting behavior that we're getting into. I mean, it's Halloween. Halloween decoration, that's a $4 billion industry. We export it. America exports it. And I have other articles talking about how Europe's really getting into it now, too. It's taking the world by storm. But don't worry. There's lots of good moods out there. There's lots of healthy dialogue. What is God's assessment? You know, we have the peacemakers out there talking about world peace, even as we as nations embrace nights depicting murder and witchcraft and the like. Says a lot about our nations. Says a lot about where we're headed. This is from the American Spectator. It says, on Halloween, young people in Europe now dress up as zombies too, Imagine how our streets have changed. I can hardly tell the difference from any other day. In other words, I'm not sure if that's like a real zombie or if it's a zombie that's dressed up like a zombie because it's Halloween. Because people are getting into so many weird, sinful acts of well, who knows what. Ghoulish behavior. And we love it. We can't get enough. Here, President Trump is grappling with really a leviathan of sin and corruption. And you see it. You see the spirit of communism here at home. You see the blanket spying that they do over the political enemies. You see it in celebrations like Halloween. This is not, these are not the ingredients of a healthy spiritual life. And that's why God says, look, you need to come out of this. You need to put it away. You need to be baptized. You need to be washed. You need to be purified. And thankfully, we can be through Christ. Look at Philippians 2. I don't have this in my notes, but Philippians 2 talks about the mind of Jesus Christ. I mean, if we're really serious, like I say, you can't doubt someone's sincerity who wants peace, but how about considering the other guy's fruits or his ideology or what he's trying to blot out in his country or what he's trying to send into your country or what his goal is or their goal is with respect to Jews and the Israeli state. This world is about to explode in violence. And you can see why there's going to be so much weeping. Because we will have been told that we were just ending one war away from universal peace. We were that close. We're not that close. You see the seeds planted everywhere for the next worldwide conflict. And Jesus in Matthew 24 says it's going to get so bad that were it not for God's intervention, the human race would be extinguished. Philippians 2 talks about the way to peace, God's way, through Christ. If there be therefore any consolation, verse 1, in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. We need the same, we have had enough of will worship, of worshiping human opinions. We need the mind of Christ if we're going to make peace. If we're going to promote unity and love. Verse 3, it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Now, we're all motivated by self-interest when you just look at the world geopolitically. You know, presidents of America go in and they have their agenda and then the communist Chinese have theirs. That's the way the world's been going for 6,000 years. But to be so naive or silly, as it says in the book of Hosea, and to sit down with someone that's not even trying to conceal the fact that they hate you, they want to destroy you, they want to kill you. What must God think? Because even as we're doing that, we're not looking to God. We're not coming underneath God's rule. We're not seeking the mind of Christ. We're not seeking true religion. Well, I mean, it could come from the occult, but there's others that think it could come from Martin Luther. And he was a man of religion. Verse 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but even but every man also on the things of others. Learn to love God above all else, and to love your neighbor as yourself. It's the spirit of God's love right here. Verse 5 tells us where it comes from. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We have to think and live like Jesus Christ. Now, that's what's coming in the world tomorrow. It'll be so simple. It'll be so simply explained. Look, we don't do this because God, there's nothing commanded in the Bible for us to do that. In fact, if you look at a lot of these principles or this passage over here, you see that we're actually forbidden to do that. God's law says no. If God, it's like I often say in class, if God says to do it, the world's approach is don't do it. And if God says don't do it, the world's approach always is, well, go ahead and do it. There's no harm in that. Will worship, worshiping opinions. Revelation 18:4, 2 Corinthians 4:4, Revelation 12:9, and on it goes. God's assessment of this present evil world. He's teaching us a lesson. Mr. Armstrong used to call it, you know, the lesson of aversion therapy. We're going to get so steeped into our sins, it's going to take us down such a horrific path of desolation and destruction. Then when finally at rock bottom, we'll turn to God and say, I've had enough of worshiping human opinions, human ideas. I'm ready to look into the Bible for answers. I'm ready to submit to God's rule, to submit to God's leaders, his teachers. We filmed another segment earlier this morning. And just looking back at the last 10 years or so of all these things that have happened in our world, this world that so many people just love, they love it. In 2015, you had ISIS with all these attacks in Europe, in the Middle East, televised beheadings. I think in one case they burn someone alive or they drown another guy in a cage. They were on the march. And here in America, you had all of this racial tension stirred up by the dear leader. People assassinating police officers and some politicians practically defending it because, well, the policemen are racist. And the dear leader was out there promoting that. Is that of God? In 2016, you had all the political turmoil here in the United States. Barack Obama signing off on the JCPOA. Empowering Iran, clearing the way so that they could build a nuclear bomb. Well, they need one. I mean, Israel has one, so shouldn't Iran? That was the thinking. That was the communist ideology here at home. The hurricanes along the way, you have had one in the news even this week. All the destructive wildfires. We think about California earlier this year. In 2018, they had one of the worst wildfires in their history. California. The state's under a curse. Mass shootings every year. 2018 was the year of Parkland. In 2019, you have President Trump investigated, spied upon, persecuted, impeached. Yeah, because, well, the communist side, they just loved him, right? They just wanted to get along with him. They just wanted a good deal to make peace. No, they actually wanted to destroy him. They created the Trump-Russia collusion hoax. They lied. They got judges involved. And it's still going on. You heard Ted Cruz earlier. And who can forget 2020? A truly dreadful year. And the fact that that virus was man-made. We made it. We unleashed it. Came out of China, by the way. Did you know this? It can't. Now, they probably had some support from the good doctor and his people, Dr. Fauci. But it came from China. And it led to all of these authoritarian lockdowns that went on for months, except during the George Floyd period. Then the violence resumed. The looters were free to go. Burn down cities. Yeah. All of it triggered by the death of George Floyd, the drug addict. Is this for real? Did this really happen? It sure did. And then you had reporters on hand to say, this is, I mean, it's mostly peaceful and it's definitely necessary because we need social justice. We're just looking for justice. That sounds pretty good. The next year, the United States shamefully withdraws from Afghanistan, and the whole world is watching this shameful display. Weakness. And then during the years of weakness for America, you have Putin. He's on the march, taking advantage of it, invading Ukraine 2022, and the war still rages on. 2023, well, Israel has its 9/11. 1,200 Jews slaughtered. The worst attack on Jews since the Holocaust. And Hamas, they were excited about it. They were printing, they were putting posts on social media to show the horrific violence. It was a real horror movie. And you heard earlier this week, a majority of Palestinians still congratulate Hamas. Yeah, I think it was the right thing to do. This is what we have to do for our rights, for our justice. We just want some social justice of our own. Last year, the massive flooding in the Southeast U.S., war throughout the Middle East, Donald Trump miraculously wins re-election after the one 4 years earlier was stolen. He survives two assassination attempts. And then you look at this year. I mean, the pace, as I've said on the show in recent days, the pace of prophetic events, it just makes your head spin. The point is that this is definitely not God's world. When God's world is here, none of that I just rattled off is going to be going on. Then we're actually going to have real peace, real ceasefires, real cooperation, real love. The Telegraph wrote this review on a book called The Nuclear Age, and they just kind of dismissed it. The guy writing the book says, you know, 9-10 nations have nuclear weapons now, and it looks like we're probably going to end up with 20 or maybe even 40 nations having nukes. And we've got nukes being tested now. And we've got people bragging about powerful weapons. And at the same time, just like the Telegraph does, dismissing the thought of nuclear war ever breaking out. Well, you've got to have some kind of faith in the human spirit, in human nature, to believe that that will never happen. Have faith in what Jesus said in Matthew 24. Read it. Read Matthew 24. I'm out of time. Luke 21. 2 Timothy 3, read what God says is to happen in the last days, and then be comforted by the fact that we're living in the last days, which means we also want to lift up our heads, as Jesus said, and look for his return to this earth. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.